This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to another episode of Best Show Bests, the greatest hits of the best show, with me, your host, Tom Sharpling. If you like what you hear, make sure you join us every Tuesday night on Twitch at 6 p.m. Pacific for a brand new episode of the Best Show featuring callers, celebrity guests, live music, and plenty of surprises. Enjoy!
Yeah, I have nothing against comics, you know. I like comics. I particularly like comics for kids. I like when kids are, you know, they find something they're interested in and they're passionate about it, you know. People don't let go as they get older, you know. And I don't know, to me it's a little curious because I just think there's more interesting things out there. I thought about doing this on my own a while back. I think you mentioned it on the show. I'm very excited to announce that me and Brett Davis will be taking a romp through the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
And Brett is going to guide me on this galactic tour.
And I'm being already told that Brett Davis is more of a producer on this show. This is your journey. I'm being told this is Mike's journey. But
yeah,
you have
no,
a Sherpa. He's your Sherpa. Make Mike Marvel.
Welcome to Make Mike Marvel. If you're new to Mike, Mike is the associate producer on The Best Show. You were the call screener at one point and gave me the ultimate opportunity. So I am forever in your debt.
I was an early promoter, and I encourage you to keep calling, even though Tom was resistant to your character, your initial character, Steinberg.
We're getting off topic. So you're familiar, at least, with the Marvel Comics characters.
Oh, yeah.
You know of Iron Man.
Rather than buying a comic book, I bought this book that gave you all the origin stories of Spider-Man, you know, the main Marvel characters, Thor. Did it become like a collector, you know, the whole comic book collector thing? I was actually interested when I was getting comic books, Sergeant Fury. There were military themed comics. Marvel's was Sergeant Fury.
But yes. your taste is a little more, you like the art film. You like,
well, no, I like reality based entertainment, I guess you'd describe it as.
Okay.
You know, the further entertainment gets from reality for me, then we're in the land of fantasy and cartoons. And
you like a Bellator?
Bellator, I like, yeah. Mike Lee is probably my top guy. You know, I like the heavies with some humor.
Growing up, I loved crossovers. Once I heard that all these little movies are building to a big crossover, it piqued my interest. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any of them until a girlfriend dragged me to the Avengers, and I was hooked.
Okay, all right.
But since then, I've seen every one of these Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay, but you're not going into the books, though, the comic books. You didn't.
No.
Okay, so you just stick into the movies.
This is the lane I operate in.
Okay. All right.
I don't care about the DC movies. I don't care if there's a cool sci-fi or sort of fantasy epic. It rarely piques my interest.
Okay.
It's for some reason this universe.
All right.
I'm all in.
You're focused. Okay.
And now
it's interesting. Yeah, I think, you know, you're sort of an anomaly because I think most of the super fans, I mean, have you ever been to a Comic-Con? Let me ask that question.
I used to do a TV show in New York and we filmed some stuff there. I don't think the footage ever aired.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't really been in it, but I was around it.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe if this podcast takes off, maybe we could take a trip to Comic-Con together.
Okay. I'm worried that, you know, people are like, wait a second, he's got this Sherpa, but this Sherpa is not the super fan. You know, he's not.
Well, I'm as well versed in the Marvel Cinematic Universe as anybody.
Okay.
Anything outside of it. Right. I don't care. It's not in the universe. Now we're entering a multiverse and it's getting a little complicated. I might have to do a little homework here and there. But in this universe, you couldn't have a better guide. I'm the Charon on your river Styx into this endless
Do you
project.
Own all the DVDs?
I don't have any DVDs. It's 2023. I don't necessarily like these movies.
Okay. All right. All right. This is good to get it up front.
I am all in. It is like a TV show where I don't miss an episode.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I don't like all the episodes. Uh-huh. And some of them I actively dislike. But for whatever reason, I am fully on board.
Yeah. No, they're wildly successful. So, you know, surely you're not alone in this, you know, fascination and sticking to it over all these years.
I would love to figure out on this journey going back to Comic-Con who you would cosplay as. I'm gonna kind of check in throughout this process and see
I cosplay as. Obadiah Stane.
Okay, you'd have to make some cosmetic.
Obadiah
changes.
Stane. You know that name is just yeah. No, the names I guess going forward will always be a source of. Humor or bewilderment. Should we just jump into our first movie?
There had been a bunch of movies in the 2000s, Spider-Man, X-Men, that sort of set the stage for Marvel being a box office success, but not all of them were hits. A lot of them were duds. Fantastic Four, Ghost Rider. I think they had sequels, but I don't think they were beloved by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel created their own movie-making division, Marvel Studios, and this was their grand project. Not an A-list, not a top-tier superhero by any means, and not necessarily a top-tier actor in Robert Downey Jr., the tabloid fodder of the 90s. Do you have any opinions on Robert Downey Jr.?
He always seemed like a wild card, which, you know, I prefer that than some sort of bland other actors who just don't really have much character off screen.
Do you like him as a musician?
I'm not familiar with his music. No, yeah.
Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by if you smile.
How about Jon Favreau? Are you familiar with his movies?
Well, of course, Swingers was his big one that I was aware of. You know, Swingers I enjoyed, I guess. I haven't seen it since I saw it in the theaters. I don't know how it's holding up.
I watched it recently. You know, I moved to Hollywood and I was like, I got to do some research on where all the cool swing dancing spots are. It turns out it's right next to me.
Really?
I live by that place.
So you've been to some of the locations. So yeah, it was sort of a unusual choice, I thought. But I guess, you know, he's working with a team of CGI experts and stuff. So it's like, how much control does he really have? You know, it's like
I think
a committee.
In this film, you know, they're working with Kevin Feige, who's the brains of the whole. He's overseeing everything, but this is, you know, they claim it's akin to an indie film.
Okay.
From what I hear of the production, they were rewriting the script on shooting days.
Okay.
You know, to account for improvisation and stuff, which I believe, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of it does feel pretty natural dialogue.
I think I've seen Iron Man and the Avengers in the theater when they came out.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a couple others on bootleg DVDs I got at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've seen Hulk, which I think is not well regarded. I was kind of surprised. Is that the
on
one they consider the Ang Lee?
That so the Ang Lee's Hulk is not part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah.
I don't even know these technicalities.
Well, this is why you're here.
You're guiding me.
like Kelsey Grammer said, this is wiping of the lens.
Okay. So I saw Iron Man in the theater. I remember I went with my brother. It was like a hot summer day. And this is the kind of entertainment you want. You know, I mean, it's just like nonstop action. And, you know, they made different choices that are unusual. I mean, the comic, you know, I had read the origin comic about Iron Man. And, you know, it came out like in 1963. So, you know, of course, they've revamped it to make it modern in modern times. And some of those choices as we go along, you just seem odd to me, you know, because just like one that comes to the top of my head is that he's got these robotic computers helping him construct the Iron Man suit. And, you know, one, of course, I guess he's like the C-3PO of Iron Man. He's got a British accent.
Jarvis,
yes.
Jarvis, you there?
At your service, sir.
Engage heads-up display.
Check.
Report all preferences from home interface.
Test complete, preparing to power down and begin diagnostics.
Yeah, tell you what, do a weather and ATC check, start listening in on ground control.
Sir, there are still terabytes of calculations needed before an actual flight is adjourned.
Jarvis, sometimes you gotta run before you can walk. Ready? In 3, 2, 1.
And the other one, I guess, is Mute. He doesn't have a name.
He
extinguisher.
Does have a name. It's Dumb E.
Dumb E. Okay. So he doesn't speak, right?
This is a young Tony Stark's first robot that he's ever built.
All right. Well,
he keeps around for sentimental reasons.
And it extinguishes him when he catches fire.
Yeah.
And they play that joke off one too many times. And I'm just thinking, well, why doesn't he just make a Iron Man robot or drone?
Drone better.
What? Drone better? Why is drone better?
He can stay at home with his VR set on, you know, controlling the thing as it flies through the air. And he's not putting his life in peril.
Mike? I got good news for you. This is explored in great depth in future sequels.
Okay, all right.
In fact, there's a whole movie about it.
Okay, all right. At least somebody is thinking sensibly about what the audience is thinking, right? Okay, well, that's encouraging. Let me say that. But so yeah, it's he's a Tony Stark is a playboy. It's weird that weapons manufacturing is like akin to show business. They have award ceremonies, you know, and he's dating Maxim.
You haven't been to one of those galas?
No, I haven't been to a weapons manufacturing award ceremony, you know, with champagne and the high life.
There's a very clear modern Tony Stark parallel to make in Elon Musk.
Okay, yeah, but this is 2008. Did we know who Elon Musk was in 2008?
I think he's, well, here's a spoiler, he appears in Iron Man 2.
Mr. Musk, How are you? Pepper.
Congratulations on the promotion.
Thank you very much.
Those Merlin engines are fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, good idea for an electric jet.
You do.
Yeah.
Then we'll make it work.
So Tony Stark comes out. He's an asshole playboy. There's an allusion to Maxim magazine.
Is it true you went 12 for 12 with last year's Maxim cover models?
That is an excellent question. Yes and no. March and I had a scheduling conflict, but fortunately the Christmas cover was twins.
Which hasn't, people are probably scratching their heads now when is Maxim magazine still out there? I don't know.
I was more of an FHM kind of guy.
Right, but... yeah. They came out. That was your generation's Playboy. You know, we had Playboy, but then you had like these sort of poor man's Playboys that you didn't have to hide under your bed, you know, they were...
It wasn't Jessica full Alba's on the cover.
It wasn't full nudity, you know, by all accounts, it's set in Afghanistan, right? We've all heard about Al-Qaeda and in the caves and all that. So they're sort of saying they're presenting this, but then they don't say it specifically. So they call them, it's called the 10 rings, right?
Yeah.
Cause I guess they're afraid of offending Al-Qaeda or the Taliban.
Well, they are offendable.
But it's just weird how, you know, they're making this, you know, clear association, but then they pull back for certain reasons that I don't understand. You know, they even show you Bagram Air Base, right? Which is, you know, that's a real air base. And now that hasn't aged well because that's where the horrible withdrawal took place. So, you know, I'm looking at the aircraft and I'm like, is that the aircraft where the people were clinging to as it took off and people dropped to their deaths? I mean, there's all weird new layers to Iron Man that they didn't expect, you know, but they're there now in 2023.
Well, the 10 rings, they are a terrorist group, but mm-hmm. they're not necessarily, they're a multinational group.
Uh-huh.
Some were speaking Farsi, some were speaking Russian, some were speaking Chinese.
Of course, like everybody's... We couldn't just name one specific group. Let's disperse them, and nobody will be too offended.
Did you catch a cameo in the 10 rings? One of them is Tom Morello.
Okay, I was going to bring that up. I just came across this. I was looking at the IMDb cast list before the show, and I saw his name. And well, it just says guard. So I didn't even know, was that one of the security guards, you know? So I had no idea, but thanks for clearing that up for me.
There is also a cut cameo from Ghostface Killah.
Uh-huh. Really? Okay.
Who, his whole career referred to himself as Tony Stark's.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense, at least.
Yeah.
I don't get the connection to Rage Against the Machine, but...
I saw young Americans killed by the very weapons I created to defend them and protect them. And I saw that I had become part of a system that is comfortable with zero accountability.
I like that there's an underlying, actually an underlying anti-war message, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, here, you know, he has his awakening moment, his, let's call it his, Paul revelation, mm-hmm. you know, alluding to the Gospels the New Testament anyway. But so he goes from this. He wants to shut it all down. Being shot by his own weapons in Afghanistan, he wants to redirect his company. So there is this underlying anti-war message, which I appreciate now, mm-hmm. watching it now, where there's kind of a, hey, you know, we're getting ready for our next forever war. So it's nice to see an anti-war message in a movie.
First thing he does is shut down the weapons manufacturing, but after he has a Burger King.
Yeah, Whopper. The product placement. Okay. Yeah, the product placement is absurd. And I actually had to freeze frame the image is when Obadiah Stane flies in with a Ray's pizza.
Uh-huh. Right?
He's brought this pizza because this is the so-called best pizza, I guess, in the country. So he flies it in. There's an image, I don't know if you've noticed this, where he's offering the slice to Tony Stark as he's walking away, and he reveals what this pizza looks like. And it is the worst looking pizza in cinema history. It is disgusting looking. You know, I don't know if the travel took its toll. But,
well, I mean, at the very least, even on a private jet, that's at least 6 hours just sitting there.
Yeah.
He's got another buyer for the Jackson Pollock in the wings. Do you want it? Yes or no?
Is it a good representation of a spring period?
No, the Springs is actually the neighborhood in East Hampton where he lived and worked, not spring like the season. I think it's a fair example. I think it's incredibly overpriced.
I need it.
Pepper Potts.
I can't really sort of even take her seriously as an actress anymore. I just keep expecting her to go into a wellness infomercial or something, you know. Mm-hmm. I just sort of associate her more with that than actually being an actress. And does she appear in movies that much anymore? She seems to have slide.
She's moved away.
Yeah, yeah. It's predictable, nothing surprising. I would argue
it's pretty surprising they don't get together at the end.
Well, you know, they're already looking down, you know. This movie was made with sequels in mind. You know, they kind of like are very sure of themselves going forward. I mean, they've got this character who literally sucks the air out of every scene he's in. Who am I talking about? Who's the character that sucks the air out of?
I'm going to say Rhodey?
No. No.
Agent Coulson?
Yes.
Ms. Potts.
Yes.
Can I speak to you for a moment?
I'm not part of the press conference, but it's about to begin right now.
I'm not a reporter. I'm Agent Phil Coulson with the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
That's quite a mouthful.
I know. We're working on it.
You know, he's given what he sucks the air, and he's just there to, you know, he doesn't even hardly function in the movie. He's just there because we're going to get to that down the road. You know, they're planting seeds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he just gives off, I mean, nothing against Clark Gregg. I didn't even know his name. I've seen him in different things.
Yeah, the writer of What Lies Beneath.
Oh, he's a writer too? Okay.
Yeah. And then the husband of Jennifer Grey.
Okay. Wow. You are a fountain of information.
Yeah.
lots of prep going into it. I've been accused of not preparing for my shows, and this show will be heavily prepared for. But anyway, Clark Gregg, he just gives off to me a Kevin Pollak energy. You know, I've got nothing against Kevin Pollak. There's just these guys in films, and you're like, how did that guy get into films? You know, I'm not judging them on their looks or anything. I know Kevin Pollak does a great Christopher Walken impression.
Right? Yeah.
He's not completely untalented. But whenever I see him in a movie, I'm like, this guy again? You know, it's like.
I'm with you there. But Clark Gregg, I like. But,
yeah,
you know,
okay.
if this was my only Clark Gregg. Here's a little spoiler. Clark Gregg has his own TV show in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, does he? Okay. Well, good
for
him.
He's very good. You know? Very beloved.
Okay. Like I said, nothing personal.
What does S.H.I.E.L.D. stand for?
Oh, no. Strategic Homeland Internal External Licensing Device.
The Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and the Logistics Division.
Okay, yeah, no.
So the technology actually doesn't exist. So
Wait, the technology. William, here is the technology. I've asked you to simply make it smaller.
Okay, sir, and that's what we're trying to do, but honestly, it's impossible.
Tony Stark was able to build this in a cave with a box of scraps.
What did you think of Jeff Bridges as the villain?
I felt sorry for him, and because he has such a great legacy, you know. And I don't know if he needed a new house, and you know, I'm happy he got a big payday.
Uh-huh.
You know, I wondered if he asked to shave his head so people might not recognize him.
You know, so, yeah, I mean, I bet the character maybe has a bald head. I'm not quite sure.
The other thing is, this movie is anti-bald. You know, I mean, both villains are bald. You know, the
Yeah. But Yinsen is also bald.
Okay. That's a good
doctor.
Point. So it's 2-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
Just these are the types of goofy shit I want to talk about.
Okay.
The other thing, and maybe we can make this a regular feature, is the best mumbo jumbo. You know, mumbo jumbo to me, my brother was a big fan of all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I would always be aware of this stuff through my brother. He was a big Star Trek fan when we were kids. And, you know, I would watch Star Trek sort of half-heartedly. And he was like a super fan. But, you know, I used to joke about when they'd say something that's supposed to be like tech, you know, it's like tech talk. But it, you know, it's tech that didn't even exist. So it's just what I call mumbo jumbo. And you know, you have lines in this movie too, where you know Tony is designing his stuff, or Jarvis is you know giving you his. Let me give you. I actually wrote it down. It was just so out there.
Hmm.
I think this is Jarvis. Connect to the Cisco. Have it reconfigure the shell metals. Maybe this is Tony Stark speaking. Use the gold titanium alloy from the Seraphim tactical satellite. That should ensure fuselage integrity while maintaining power to weight ratio. See, this is, you know, they have to put it in there to like sort of impress you, I guess, with they're so tech savvy, and we're talking about advanced tech. But to me, it's just laughable.
Got a great idea, Tony, but my suit is more advanced in every way.
How'd you solve the icing problem?
Icing problem?
Might want to look into it.
We have a big finale, big fight. You know, Marvel's admitted weak point is the big fight at the end is sometimes not so great. I think this is the worst example of that, because it's just like they're in the dark.
Yeah.
They're in Orange County or something.
Cars are colliding. And
yeah.
You know, I've seen the Spider-Man movies, I believe, do this, where all this is action is happening, and like on roads and highways and stuff, and cars are crashing, and you know, I'm assuming people are getting badly injured, but it's like, we don't care. We just want to see what Spider-Man's doing. In this case, it's Iron Man and Obadiah and his big suit. And I guess this is the other thing why I'm sort of resistant to these movies. And the end of this movie, yes, just turns into a CGI freak out, right? It's all CGI. And that's sort of where I'm resistant, because then I feel like I'm looking at a cartoon or a video game, you know?
Yeah.
Reality is totally thrown out the window.
Did you see the post-credit scene?
The post-credit scene. Okay. I think I saw it in the theaters, but that's so long ago, I don't remember. I think when you watch these movies on Disney, do they even let the whole credits run? They have a button
that you could just click and it skips to the end.
Oh, does it? Which button is that? That would be helpful.
Skip to the end button. I don't know what it's called.
Because
it pops up.
The credits for these movies is 20 minutes long, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're ridiculously long, so they'd make you sit in the theater. I think I was aware at the time, but I have.
I think the exciting option would be, I think you should pull this up, and we're going to do, these are very popular, a live reaction. And maybe something moving forward is you could just skip, not worry about the post-credit scene when you watch these movies. And then we could get your live reaction, because these are like the commercials for the next story.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Jarvis.
Welcome, Holmes.
I'm watching it now.
I am Iron Man.
Oh yeah, this is familiar.
Mr. Stark, you become part of a bigger universe.
Samuel L. Jackson, yes.
Just don't know it yet.
Who the hell are you?
Nick Fury.
Nick Fury, yeah, okay.
I'm here to talk to you about the Avenger Initiative.
There you go, okay.
First off, that's the Sergeant Fury that you grew up reading.
It's the same guy. They morphed him into superhero world.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was his name, Nick Fury.
That's Sergeant Nick Fury.
Okay.
Now the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Iron Man, what's your rating?
Iron Man, how are we doing? 5 stars, 10 stars? What system are we using?
20 stars.
20 stars? Yeah, nobody's done the 20-star rating system. Are there half stars, quarter stars?
There's quarter stars.
Quarter stars. Yeah, okay. 20-star system. You know, this was entertaining. It goes off the rails at the end. I'll give it a solid 15.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just judging these movies. So I'm considering the fact that I'm not going to enjoy all of them. So I think this franchise is off to a good start with this movie. Mm-hmm. I suspect it will not maintain the 15.
The next movie on our journey is The Incredible Hulk, starring Edward Norton, not Eric Bana.
Okay.
You know if you've seen this one?
I may not have. I think I've only seen the Ang Lee Hulk.
Yeah. A slightly controversial one. Some have argued it's not canon at different times, but it is. We're watching it. So that is your assignment. This has been Make Mike Marvel. The journey has begun.
Uh-huh. Did I marvel? Maybe that'll be the end.
Yeah, you asked me. Marvel?
I slightly marveled.
Well, we'll be back next week talking The Incredible Hulk. I'm Brett Davis. This is AP Mike. Thank you for doing this.
You're welcome.
The Best Show is produced in partnership with the Forever Dog Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Tom Sharpling and features John Worster, Michael Lisk, Jason Gore, and Pat Byrne. The show is produced and written by Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Michael Lisk, Brett Davis, John Worster, and Tom Sharpling. The Best Show is executive produced by Tom Sharpling, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Co-executive produced by Jason Gore and Pat Byrne. Segment producer, Michael Lisk. The show is engineered and mastered by Andrew Gleason and Wesley Knapp. Graphic design, video editing, and social media by Brett Davis. Website and technical support by Martine Sellis. And the show is recorded at Forever Dog Studios in Los Angeles. Support The Best Show on Patreon over at patreon.com/TheBestShow, and follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Best Show for Life. That's Best Show #4 Life. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.